Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, Josh Allen. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up. It's my boy Blue. Oh,
my homie, your homie, my homie. Whenever he's on, I love it.
Oh, baby, nothing like listening to yourself sing in the opening. Jeez. All right, that's why I talk about football and I'm not a singer. That's embarrassing.
Singing songs you made up.
Songs I made up, no doubt about it. Three of my favorite hits right there.
Do you have any coming to mind for the rookies?
No, they got to earn it.
Percolating?
They got to earn it. You know, it's one of those things that's like truly naturally comes to my head through being like beaten into my brain. I'm watching film. Hey, this guy is awesome. I'm talking about him a lot. And I end up walking around the house. That's what I've done. I've just made shit up. That's how it all happened. I don't know how the Patrick Mahomes thing. That's what happened with me, with my homie.
Is your family aware of this?
Oh, yeah. They're very aware.
Your wife, like, wait a second. Are you singing a song about Ben Roethlisberger?
That's the only one I semi had a little bit of a, like, let me think about that for a second, where I looked up the tune of Big Ben, the Clock in London. To just confirm that's what I thought it was. And I was like, oh, this is great. I got to do that.
I got to go with this.
Right.
How could I not?
Yes. So it is. I mean, right now I'm only going to sing them once I get there. But, you know, Mahomes, Allen, Rodgers. I have a Deshaun Watson one, right? Mm. That's we're putting on hold for a little while.
Yeah,
And then I have a Lamar Jackson. I do have a Lamar Jackson that I broke out.
It's a nice little collection.
Chris Sims' greatest hits.
Yeah.
How to Break Your Eardrums by Chris Sims. Okay, that's what I'm here for. So that's right. We're back. It's top 40 quarterback countdown time. That's right. We did it. I've been working on it all last week. That's all I did. I had about 7 different versions, a lot of notes. Talked to my right-hand man to discuss it really thoroughly on Saturday night.
The old man.
Yeah. He's always the guy I talk it out with.
Mm-hmm.
And he's great because we see things very similarly, but at the same time, he's not afraid to go, oh, no, I'd have this guy in front of that guy. And, you know, I'm not going to lie. He changed my mind on one or two. There's a few where he was
Dads wouldn't do that.
Yeah. There's a few where he goes, I wouldn't do that. And then I explained it to him and he goes, that's right. That's the point. You're right. Go with that.
Kind of back and forth.
That's what I mean. You got to talk it out. I've said this before. Because sometimes you don't realize how good or bad a player sounds until you start saying things out of your mouth and you're like, oh, wait, that doesn't sound that good. I shouldn't have him there.
Here's the important question.
Yeah.
Because as we talked about last week, you kind of had this golden ticket in your pocket heading into the weekend. Like, I've got a little bit of work to do. It doesn't have to dominate my weekend, but I've got a list.
Right.
I can always tinker with it. Did you use it to get out of any kind of duty around the house?
No, you believe that crap? I didn't.
Why?
I don't know why. I mean, I was daddy daycare all weekend, kids' activities. You know, wife was living the good life. She was sunbathing in the pool.
You didn't once say, gosh, you know what? 37 and 38, I'm not sure. Honey, can you just do this? I'll see you in an hour.
I think on Friday, I used it in the evening just a little bit to go pick up Phillip from basketball practice. I just want to finish messing with this a little bit.
Yeah.
But that was it.
That's fairly lame.
I know. I'm lame. Yeah. I know.
Well, we're only going to be at the 36.
We're only getting to 36
today.
This
could be the gift that keeps on giving if you play it right.
Yeah. No. Okay. We'll see. I doubt I'll play it right. Yeah. She knows it's done now, so she's like, what are you worried about? She's excited about it, which is funny. My wife has really become a football fan here the last few years.
Does she listen to the pod?
She doesn't listen to the pod as much as she listens to PFT in the morning.
Okay.
You know, she can't do it all.
Right.
I've told her a few times that I talk about her on the pod, and she's like, oh, no, I got to listen then.
And she hasn't.
No, she hasn't
yet. It's probably
yet.
Good that she
hasn't. It is probably good.
Yeah?
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
In case she doesn't like the wife or anything like that.
Which she might not. She might not.
She's all right with that.
I also need to point out, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I said after the draft, I'm like, Chris, like, you're done ranking people. Like, what are you going to do without rankings in your life? And I forgot that this was our whole summer.
I'm not going to lie. When we got done with the draft, I was kind of like, man, this is nice. I don't really need to watch film or evaluate it anymore. Yeah. And then a few days went by, and Matt Casey and Pete were like, so, the quarterback top 40. And I was like, oh.
You had a week reprieve.
I forgot that.
That's about it.
Right. So, yes. I mean, hey, listen, I think about this stuff all the time. I am always semi-ranking the top 10 or 15 in my brain throughout the year in football. That's just what I do. It's kind of what I've always done. And when I get to this time of the year, yeah, I look at it, I tinker, I sit down. And not that I'm going to sit here and lie to people and go, oh, I watched 7 game films of Kirk Cousins and really got nit. You know, no. I've gone back and watched everybody a little bit just to give myself talking points, see if anything jumped out, positive or negative. If it was between 1 or 2 guys, yeah, I'd go back and, oh, let me just see who do my eye really like? Or is there something else that kind of separates this one guy from another guy? And I came to a few different conclusions off of stuff like that where I was just like, ooh, this is tight. I don't know what to do. Derek Carr and Baker Mayfield and Kirk Cousins and Matt Ryan and that general range of guys, man, I mean, that's nitpicky.
Mm-hmm.
It's nitpicky to where I had to go to the film a little and go, let me see what jumps out about all these guys here.
At this point, it's just a refresher, too, because you watch every game all season.
Right.
And you did last year, the year before. So there's a good base there. I was wondering, as I was driving into work today, what's more difficult for you in terms of this list, 40 through 36 or 5 through 1?
Oh, yeah, 40 through 36.
Right?
Definitely.
That's kind of what I thought.
It is, really.
So many guys could fit here.
Oh, so many. 30 through 40 is very tough. Because, you know, you had to hit 30, even though, okay, yeah, I know there's 32 starting quarterbacks.
Right.
Some of the backups are better than those low end. So you're like, okay, how am I going to do this? What do you look here? I have found so far, I think this is my 5th year in a row doing this, where I always feel like 10 through 20 is really hard and nitpicky. 30 through 40 is, it's piecing things together. It's rookies. It's a guy who's been in the year for a league but hasn't played but only in the preseason or a few snaps here and there. So it's like an accumulation of a lot of different things as far as ranking them. And, hey, listen, just so everybody knows, I mean, I just want to make it clear here, okay? This is not an all-time ranking. This is not like 3 years down the line. My protocol for my top 40 list is the top 40 quarterbacks in football right now going to the 2020 season. I'm not thinking about 2 years down the road or 2 years behind me. It's a draft. Everybody's on the same team. Everybody has the same offensive line, wide receivers, running backs, and I'm taking the quarters and a quarterbacks in a draft according to the order I see fit.
If you're a GM, you're taking all these guys for a one-year contract.
One-year contract.
Just 2021.
It's what have you done for me lately, league. It's not what are you going to do for me 2 years from now or what are you going to do for me 2 years or what you did for me. It's right now, and that's all we care about.
All right. Stage is set.
I'm
ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Yeah.
All right.
You know it.
Quarterback number 40. Who you
four
got?
Four-row. I mean – The one of the ultimate backups, one of the best backups in football, a guy that I certainly would give some dollars to be that backup, is Case Keenum. Case Keenum to me is, you know, a professional as far as a guy you can depend on to be that backup quarterback, has no weaknesses in his game, okay? Yes, and why he's 40 or a backup quarterback, yeah, maybe there's no elite thing about his game either. But Case Keenum is a high-level backup that we already know can be a starter and take over for a team. And if the team's right, you don't miss much or miss a beat at all to a degree. I mean, listen, we saw him go to the NFC Championship with the Vikings. Case Keenum's a perfect fit in Cleveland, but can do it all. Hey, he's got experience. A little bit of an athlete, certainly. Can get out of the pocket, move around the pocket, throws the ball well on the run. not going to wow you with arm power, but every throw is got good pace. It's a perfect spiral, you know, puts the ball where he wants to, has experience playing the game, and he can make an off-schedule play from time to time.
Are you surprised he's not a starter?
I think in the given right circumstances, he is that kind of guy who could be down towards that, you know, 28, 29, 30. You know, he's stuck in a tough spot with Denver on that team, right? And that was a tough situation. And, of course, here in Cleveland where he didn't play much last year, all those type of things. But he is one of those guys where I look at to go, let's say Baker Mayfield got hurt in Week 10 this year.
In good shape.
He played well. You're in good shape. You can win playoff games. You can go to the Super Bowl with Case Keenum. That's no disrespect to Baker Mayfield. But Case Keenum is the perfect fit for a Cleveland team who's in the Super Bowl window. And he's a poor man's version of the starting quarterback. So they don't have to miss a beat.
Right.
That's really how I look at it. So here you go. You got a good player who's worthy of being a really high-end backup. But at the same time, you know, if he comes in, okay, wow, we don't have to change our offense. You know, he can kind of do all the same things our starter can, just to a lesser extent. Might not have that explosive arm or quite as quick moving around in the back end of the pocket and those type of things. But still, Case Keenum for me, man, great insurance policy as a backup.
I got your list last night from Pete. So I went to number 40, Case Keenum, started, you know, reading around and it kind of like get my mind thinking about him for a while, because I hadn't done it really last season, because he, for the first time in a long time, he wasn't really playing.
Right.
He was ready to play, but he didn't get out there.
Right.
And it's interesting when you look at his last 5 or 6 years, since 2016, this is his fifth team. So he's gone from team to team to team to team. He's been in a new city, new team, new coach, new quarterback in front of him or behind him.
You're right.
Every year, but now this year, he's not moving. He's in the same city. He doesn't have to learn a new offense.
Yes,
Kevin
right.
Stefanski is back.
Right.
He has a relationship with Baker Mayfield, so I would trust him too. I may trust him even a little more this year because he's entering the situation that was the same last year.
Right.
And he hasn't said that for years.
Oh, I know. Hasn't said it for years. And it's an offense that at least he's got some background with a little bit. But Stefanski at least was in Minnesota there with him.
That's, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things to like there. It's the perfect fit with the player. You know, the guy he's backing up, who's still a young guy, kind of getting used to being the man in the NFL. Hey, Case Keenum can be there to kind of help him out. Not that Case Keenum's been the man, but he's been around the block and been on some good teams. Understands what it takes to be a pro, that's for sure. So I love Case Keenum's game. I really do. You know, I still even look at Denver was a tough situation when he got to take over there. He's one of those guys that when he's your starter, you're always looking to go, I think we can do a little better. That's just the problem. And that's why he is where he is. But I expect him to hang around as one of these high-level backups for a number of years to come, because I don't think his arm's going to lose any pop. And he's a good athlete like we talked about. And I just think he's kind of got the right mix. And for the guy he is, he's the perfect backup because, like we just talked about, he's never a threat to a starter either. They're never like – the team's never going to be like, whoa, Keenum was throwing lasers around the field today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and teams like that. There's a starter and there's a backup, and there's that way for a reason.
Such a fine line when your statement about a quarterback is, I think we can do better. And he was kind of that kind of guy. That's what people felt about him. Had the little run of magic in Minnesota.
Yeah.
But then he's got that stigma attached. But then you go from starter – people feel that way about you to backup, and it's you're the same guy, but the feeling is, God, I feel great about our backup situation.
I know.
If our guy got hurt,
yes,
and we had to go to Case Keenum,
yes,
that's okay.
Hey,
it's
no
better
doubt.
Than 90% of the rest of the backup situations.
100%, 100%. You know, other than a handful of guys or maybe some young guys that we got coming in to be rookies who have some special talents. Yeah, I mean, I like everything about Case Keenum. I really do. And listen, you listen to anything that happened in Cleveland last year. Hey, I mean, he looked very good in training camp. I know there was a lot of people early on in training camp that were like, whoa, Case Keenum's kind of outperforming Baker Mayfield on a daily basis. And of course, it was a new system for Baker and he was getting used to it, and Baker was on fire at the end of the year. But Case Keenum, glad he's on the list, should be on the list, and he's one of the best backup quarterbacks in all of football.
Final question or thought about him. He was 32 last year.
Yeah.
So he moved down. Is this a reflection of that he didn't play last year or that hey, I really like these young quarterbacks in the league.
Even a backup I like is going to get bumped right now. It is a little bit of that. That's really all it is. It's really not an indictment. Yes, he hasn't played, so that hurts him a little bit. He is what he is at this point. And, yeah, there's some special guys coming in the league and the movement of the league and things like that, too. I mean, I think as we climb up the 30s, you'll start to look at it, too, and go, damn, okay, yeah, it's tough. It's tough. It's a tough group. There's a lot of good quarterbacks in football right now.
Right.
We don't have any problem at that position.
I love what you're doing here coming up with these next handful of picks here.
Yes, okay? Yes.
We cool. are going to get a little younger.
Right. We're going to get younger.
Number 39.
Number 39, Big Justin Fields, Ohio State, Chicago Bears starting quarterback. Hey, I know I was one of the negative guys on Justin Fields in the draft process. I'm sorry. There's still a lot that I really like about Justin Fields. Yes, you know, is he a guy that could be on here and play and make a huge jump by the time we get to week 10? No doubt about it. He's got that type of talent. You know, but we'll see. He scares me, just like he did in the draft process, for me to put him too much higher in the rankings. Special running ability, like mm-hmm. we've talked about. We know the arm is top-notch, and when you piece it all together, hey, he can do some stuff on a highlight reel where you just go, whoa, wow, holy crapola, Batman. I mean, he's got all the tools to be the superstar. Now it's just going to have to be putting it together. That's why he's 39. Hey, he's got the potential to be a top 20 guy halfway through the year. I mean, he really does. But he's got some other issues where I'd go, you know, I don't know. I mean, he could fall down farther 39 if it got to the bad aspect that scares me. Mm-hmm. So that's where, you know, Justin Fields is at 39. I need to see a little more info before I make a jump with him or anything like that. You know my issues. The throwing mechanics are really the biggest issues, the inconsistencies there. Too many slam dunk NFL completions that were left as incomplete in the college game, that bothered me. So he is a little bit of a boom or bust type prospect. Mm-hmm. I'm rooting for him, even though people think I'm a hater on him. I don't root against these guys.
Right.
But yes, there's got to be things that he's got to clean up and I got to see first before I can put him in front of some of these other guys.
I'll give you dealer's choice here. It's your list. Do you want to get right to some of these pictures, some of the issues with his mechanics, or you want to talk him with the Bears first and then get to some of the issues?
Let's bring the mechanics in first, because I think we can go there and then maybe talk about what the Bears can do to help it and maybe even massage it as far as their play calling to let them have some time working on it. So, yeah, I mean, listen, you know the issues, right?
Right.
And the biggest thing, first off, is a lot of space to throw the football as far as he needs a lot of space, and then a lot of moving parts to throw the football. So here's a play against Alabama, right? And there's a lot of these on film. And again, I'm rooting for Justin Fields here. But like here, if you're looking at this on YouTube, there's the great receiver. I believe this is Olave, number 5, at the kind of the top of the screen, coming across the formation right here, all right? And there's Justin Fields, perfect pocket, right? And I'm just going to tell you, this should be a slam dunk completion. We know that. It should be a slam dunk completion. It's a 4-yard throw and a shallow cross. I will also say, because we don't have video over these and video rights to these, you're just going to have to trust me that if it's an accurate completion, not just a completion, if it's an accurate completion where the guy doesn't have to slow down, he's going to score a touchdown. I mean, he's going to run right down the sideline and run for a touchdown. But let's go ahead with this, Pete. So first there, and these aren't going to be – we got some better pictures coming forward here. But, hey, listen, you see there, there's the arm is up already through the elbow, right? I don't necessarily even – I can tell the body positioning is not perfect there. But it's – he go back to the last picture, if you can, Kristen or Pete, whoever is controlling it. But you could see even just from here, if you go this one now to picture 2, the upper body didn't really change. The arm just went up, right? The arm went up. The shoulders never turned, nothing. Mm-hmm. So this is a little bit of what we're going to get into here with the next few, you know, frames. So now let's go and finish the product here. And you see here, I mean, this is a ball the guy could barely get his hands on, and we're talking about a 5-yard throw. And as you could see, it's man coverage. The guy's chasing him.
He's open.
And he's one of the fastest guys in college. I mean, Olave is going to be a top 20 pick next year. So he's a special receiver. So you have that. Yes. So there's an example. Let's go to the next one, Pete or Kristen. Now, again, here's another one. Alabama national championship game. Going to throw a little, like, double move corner route to the back pylon. All right. Here's it. Not a bad position to be in right here. I got no issues with this. that looks pretty good, actually, from where that picture is. Two hands on the ball, decent base underneath him. But now let's go to the next picture. Now, I don't love that. I don't love that. Now, I mean, again.
Those of you who can't see, he's ready to throw the ball, Chris, and his stride
Thank you. Very
two
long.
2 yards?
I mean, yes, at least 2 yards. I would say two and change with the backside. What bothers me, I'm not a two-yard stride. Okay, I can deal with that. But there's the other parts that also add to the I don't like the two-yard stride. The back foot way outside the framework of the body. That's what I mean when you hear me say, like, we've talked about pushing off the mound, right? Quarterbacks don't get in that position
right.
where the hips and the body, why the foot is still in the ground, are noticeably in front of that back leg underneath them. And then, of course, what's the other thing that jumps out to you?
The ball's
what?
Ball has been swung up by his head.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, his now you see here if you're watching again on YouTube, it's independent contractor with the arm. The arm is way far from the body. Elbow relay like this. So I'm going to stand up for a second if you don't mind here. I'll stay low. But, I mean, to be in this position. So quarterback like Brady or a Rodgers, they're always going to keep this underneath them, right? Here's my power. Boom. Right? Maybe a little step and boom, it's up there. They don't get to this position
right.
to then throw the ball.
Because at that point, your weight is way out
way
here.
Out.
And the weight you want behind it to drive the ball is gone.
It's gone. You got nothing.
You don't have
and
it.
Then you have to throw
right.
all arm.
Right.
And now he's got an arm that's floppy and has a lot of moving parts. So now his body is out of position.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're only relying on the arm to do it.
Right.
And again, that's why it's sometimes hit or miss with Justin Fields. Sometimes you can go, whoa, it's just one strike after another. This is amazing. But then you can get into little areas like this in this game and in some other games where let's go. Let's just finish this one out here where, you know, you could see, again, there was a place, but it wasn't even close to complete. Not even close.
Right.
And those are the things we're talking about that we got to fix with Justin Fields. It's going to be a tough fix. It is. Pete, we got one more, right? Here we go. Another one, you know, again, a little bit of like we talked about with the last one. Again, the back leg not totally underneath him. I don't love the position of the body, again, and the arm itself way too far away from the body and disconnected from the body, the upper body. I think that's the big thing. There's a disconnect.
Yeah.
You know, if you guys can come back to me again, if there's a Brady or a Rodgers, they take the ball like this. It goes away like this. They don't do this and then try to do this and then try to make it go like that way. It's not segmented like that. And again, going back to that picture there, it led to this is a, hey, listen, the coverage is not bad. But again, for the 11th pick of the draft, it should be slammed on his numbers. Okay, he gets smashed at the 1 yard line, maybe gets in the end zone. But what happens is, not even a catchable ball and should have been intercepted. Or that might have been intercepted. Was that the Surtain intercept that or he dropped it? He dropped it, right? Yeah, so again, I hate to harp on it because the guy can do some other things, running the ball and throwing some deep passes where you just go, you drool and you go, that's amazing.
Right.
But there's just too much of that right now for me to bump him up too far because I just don't know yet.
I think it's a real legitimate, a number of legitimate things to bring up. And I always like to compare something, whether it's good or bad, to what is good in the NFL. And pick out a quarterback in the top 10. Let's talk about the top couple of guys. Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes. Their release is different, but two things they have in common. No wasted motion in, if we can make a golf comparison, in the backswing.
Exactly
There's
right.
no wasted motion
exactly
like
right.
Justin Fields appears to have,
exactly.
number one. And they also don't have long strides.
No.
And it's all about balance and weight distribution. When you're talking about consistent accuracy, where the windows aren't very big, if you have a lot of play up top to rein in, if you have a lot of play on the bottom with your legs, your balance is tough. Your weight distribution and power is really difficult, too. So as I'm listening to you, I'm just trying to think of, like, what are easy ways to think about why this matters? And it matters with balance when you have a lot of play up top and a lot of play on the bottom.
Exactly.
It's hard to put it together. Pick out any quarterback in the top 10 you're thinking of, and they don't have that combo. Doesn't mean he can't do it.
Exactly.
But when you compare to where he's trying to go, it's hard to think of somebody who has that combination of what he's doing with his arm motion
right.
and his lower body.
No, I think you said it right. That's the right way to put it. It's got to get fixed. There's no doubt about it. And it's like, hey, you put it right. The examples you used and everything like that, the moving parts, the balance, anything like, hey, listen, that throwing of any object
mm-hmm.
or anything similar, like we always talk about, you got too many moving parts hitting a forehand in tennis, and you're going crazy and all that, you're going to lose control of the ball.
Right. Think about Phil Mickelson yesterday.
Right.
That swing that we've all looked at for 20 years is like so effortless. One of the reasons is there's no wasted motion.
There's no wasted motion.
None at all.
Right.
With his arms or his lower body.
Technically perfect, and then, of course, can stay within himself. But then at 50 years old, can hit the longest drive
mm-hmm.
in the PGA Championship at 50 years old at 366 yards, and it looked effortless, but it's because the technique was perfect.
Yeah.
And that's where you go to Brady and Rodgers and Mahomes, where you just go, man, that looks so weird. It looked like a flick of the wrist. You know, it looks like a flick of the wrist because they're mechanically perfect to where they don't have to put a lot of effort in to throw a 30-yard out route or do things like that.
Right.
The one thing I'll say again, you know, with those throws, with Justin Fields, everything like it, you know, yes, we need to do those to help with accuracy. Yes, the pockets are going to be much more condensed than you saw there at Ohio State. So you want him to clean it up from that aspect, to be able to throw in tight quarters with people around him. And the last thing I'll say, too, just as far as the negatives are concerned, listen, there's just too many, go on the internet or whatever, there's too many pictures, and if you're watching here, again, of just that arm away, and sometimes the bottom part of the ball is facing upwards. I don't know anybody in the history of football who's been successful and the arm and the ball get like this in their backswing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it's got to get cleaned
up. Is it something that can get fixed?
It's a really hard one. Yeah. And then you're going to have the right people there to help you with it. And that's, again, part of it too. I don't know if Chicago has those people. That's why he's at 39. I just got to see a little. And listen, I'm just going to say it one more time. I hope the fucking guy balls out and shits on me and shows everybody. It's not personal. I'm talking football and throwing, and this is what I do. Sorry, had to leave it at that.
Week one.
Yeah.
One thing we can do now that we couldn't do in March and April when talking about him, attach kind of what we picture to what their schedule is going to be. People think, hey, just start him right away. Week one at the Rams. Maybe the best defense in the league. You think he should be the guy right away?
The development will be key. Like I don't think. I mean, you watched enough Justin Fields the last few years. Mm-hmm. I never got the sense like the game was too big for him, or he was intimidated by anything, or
not at all.
Like, oh no, the crowd's too loud. I'm flustered. So from all those things, I go, Justin Fields is gonna be fine. Mm-hmm. I think he likes when the lights are on, and he likes competing, and he thinks he's the man. And that's the
great.
Way he should be, right? So from that aspect, I have no doubts that he could handle the competitive aspect. It's going to be about, do they feel comfortable with him within the offense? And the way he is throwing the football consistently or not consistently or those things.
Right.
To me, that's what it's going to be about. They certainly, if he can get to the point where they go, hey, he's got our base drop back pass game pretty down. And, okay, maybe he's not quite as consistent as Andy throwing the ball, but it's not far off. And, oh, wait, now he brings this other element to our offense. And, again, I'm not in love with Chicago's offense anyways. So maybe this is the kind of thing they needed to give them some spice mm-hmm. and give them a little bit of an extra schematic curveball and things like that. He could bring that. And then, of course, their defense is legit. So I don't think it's crazy. I don't have an answer for you right now, as you know. But you, like, get me into, like, two or three preseason games, and we revisit this and let me see it and maybe just hear some things in the NFL universe about how this guy's handling the meeting room and all that.
Right.
I'll give you a proclamation statement on whether they think he should start week one.
I would think unless there's some major red flags from now until the start of the season, whether it's in the off season or the preseason, you start him, even though it is the Rams and that's a tough one. You mentioned he's played well on a big stage. He's not afraid of it. And if you're Nagy or Pace, the head coach or GM, if you go 1-3 in September with Justin Fields as your quarterback, the heat is not as much as if you go 1-3 with Andy Dalton.
No doubt.
You may as well get that started right away so you could start the upward trajectory, the ascent a little bit, kind of build toward that.
I'm with you.
Right away.
I'm with you. I mean, I agree. I do all the way. You know me. I'm always that guy about play the guy. either way. It's the best thing for him to grow and do all those type of things. And I do think there'll be tremendous fan pressure there too.
Right.
For all the out, I mean, Florio's been saying it. It's Andy Dalton. We traded him to get the number 11 pick. Like, we can't beat out Andy Dalton. Like, you know, that's all going to be part of this conversation that's going to put pressure on the Bears to get him in there.
Just kind of comparing last year's list to this one's, Chris. Your first quarterback last year was Tua, who was your third-ranked quarterback, I think. You had him at 40. This is your sixth-ranked quarterback as a rookie at 39.
Yeah, I know.
I can't help but think about how many of these guys are still to come.
Hey, part of what I do, too, is I don't want to be held to last year's. I'm aware, but I'm not going to, like, go, well, man, I had him here last year, and it just won't look that right if I bump him up that far.
Right.
I don't give a damn about any of that. I don't care. You know, I had Lamar Jackson at, 28 one year, and then the year he was going to win the MVP, I had him at 2 or 3. Like, yeah, that's how fucking good it was. I don't know what else to say.
Right.
So I don't look at it that way. You know, there's new guys that come in the league. Guys play better, play worse, and it kind of moves around a little bit, you know, when you're talking about NFL quarterbacks.
And talking last week as we were kind of previewing this, you kind of said, and I'm paraphrasing, that you learned from last year.
Yeah.
That you liked some of those guys, Burrow and Herbert, better than you ranked them, but you kind of hedged it a little bit.
I did.
Because people are like, how could you rank somebody who's never played yet?
How could you put Mahomes at 30th? You've never seen him play.
Right.
And I want to be like, well, no, I should have had him at 10. Like, I was wrong. You're right. Why would I put him at 30? He should have been at 10. I knew he was one of the 10 best.
I like the aggressive stance here.
Thanks.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win. Defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Speaking of,
quarterback
38.
Yeah, same type of guy. Trey Lance, though, 49ers. Yes, North Dakota State. He will be quarterback number 38. You know, hey, a lot of the same conversations that we had with Justin Fields, hasn't played as much football, but I love the top-end talent. And there is more consistency with Trey Lance's throwing. Now, it still needs work. There's no doubt about that. And we're going to get into breaking down some of those type of things. But either way, like we talked about with Fields, Lance has some special attributes. We know that. The running is real, once again. I mean, it's real. He can make people miss. He can outrun you. You know, he's got good size and strength to even take on some people if he's got to lower a shoulder or run into some trash. His arm, like a Justin Fields too, it's really powerful. It's really powerful. And I would say really in a lot of ways more powerful than Justin Fields because there is a little more consistency with the mechanics and controlling of the football to where, you know, he can throw it hard and still control it. Fields can throw it hard and sometimes control it. Other times you're going, no, that's not good. So that's the reason Lance is in front of Fields. But, yes, I still have questions with the lack of playing time, the mechanical issues, the consistency hitting some passes that you go, wait, you know, hey, you're the number three pick in the draft. I'm not supposed to see, like, that many. The guy had to go to the ground or turn around or we just missed that throw all together. Those are the things I got to see them improve a little bit before I can make these guys, you know, top 25 type talents or quarterbacks in the NFL.
Each one of these quarterbacks, we're going to talk about these rookie quarterbacks coming up here, whether it's today or, you know, further down the list, they all have their unique situations around them that make their situations different than the other guy or other guys. But this one really stands out to me because you look at San Francisco and what they gave up to get him.
I know.
You talk about maybe some of the, you know, Justin Fields fans are going to want to see him. But they gave up two future firsts. They swapped first-round positions this year. So there they are. They get this guy. But Jimmy Garoppolo is pretty good when he's healthy. The defense is really good. They're a team that can think about playing deep into January. So you think, well, rest him. Or not rest him, but sit him and
sit
let him
learn.
Sit
him for a year. Right.
But then look at all you gave up. So, I mean, how much will what they gave up to get him, like, have to do with his – you know, kind of how he's used or not used this year.
I think it definitely, like, inches the hot poker towards Shanahan's butt a little bit with the fact of all the assets they had to trade and everything like that. But I also think within that, even though that hot poker is going to be close to his butt, the also the fear of, like, wait, I traded all this and he's, you know, I'm not sure if he's ready yet, you know, will make him keep, like, you know, swatting it away, the hot poker.
Do you think it'll be on the fans' minds? Do you think it'll be on Kyle and John's minds?
They're too smart. They're aware of the fans and everything
like
that.
Do you think it'll affect them?
Yes. I don't think it'll affect them. I don't. That's what I was trying to make with that horrible analogy that I was trying to do there. But, yes, because I think they're going to balance that. Like, yeah, we want to get him out there. We know the fans want him out there. Mm-hmm. Gosh, we traded all this stuff to get this guy. Yes, but, like, if there's any fear of – ooh, he could fall flat on his face and, you know, have eggs all over his head and all that kind of stuff,
right,
then maybe we need to pump the brakes here. So this is a fascinating situation.
It is.
I don't know, because it could play out in the scenario you talked about where, oh, yeah, we want to sit him for a year. But like we've discussed, oh, yeah, but you were 13-3 and you're the NFC's home field advantage, or 13-4 this year. NFC home field advantage.
Yeah.
Like, are we going to get Garoppolo? Are we going to get rid of him? Are we going to go one more year because that's working? And, oh, wait, we Jed York said we could wait a few years before we play the guy.
Yeah.
You know, that's, to me, where the pressure will mount up too. And it will become like the NFL talking thing. Be like, man, they gave up all this stuff for this guy. And he's still not on the field.
Yeah.
And, of course, I also look at it from the aspect of, like, Shanahan's had this type of guy before in RG3. And they hit the ground running. And, you know, so I don't doubt that Shanahan could put something together and they could throw him out there week one.
Mm-hmm.
And it might not be perfect, but we'd still be sitting there going, "This is, look at this crap they're doing.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
is dangerous. Whoa, Shanahan came up with some crap here. This is amazing."
Is there any precedent from last year? And I know that Kyle and John are going to do what they think is best. But remember last year in Miami, Fitzpatrick was playing well. They were winning. I mean, you could say he was playing really well. And they benched him anyway to get a look at Tua.
I think it's riskier to do for the 49ers than it was for Miami. Miami could still say it. Miami didn't know it had arrived yet. Even though they were playing good, I think that they could probably still sell to their players and their team, like, hey, we're building something. You know, this is something we got good here.
Yeah.
You know, San Francisco's different in the fact that, first off, this quarterback's taken you to the Super Bowl already. And second of all, the thing's built. It's already built. We already have expectations, and we think they're a Super Bowl caliber football team.
Yeah.
So that's where it's harder to do that, because now if you're 5-2 and you pull the cord.
That's the number I had in my mind too, 5-2.
Guys are going to be in the locker room being like, what the fuck? Are we not trying to win?
Yeah.
Are we not trying to go to the Super Bowl? And that's where it could be more dangerous for them, I think, than the Miami team that was young and we're just rebuilding and, you know, we didn't really have a franchise guy and we just drafted the fifth pick. It was just Fitzpatrick. We know him. This is fucking Jimmy G. He was supposed to replace Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And then he was supposed to come to your place and be the savior there.
And played when healthy.
Plays good.
And minus a couple big moments and huge games, which is hard to erase.
Right. I know.
That's harder to erase than the injuries, because sometimes that's just bad luck.
Yeah.
But the majority of time when healthy, he's been good.
I know. That's where it's Shanahan's making a lot of money, and this is it deserves a lot of money to make this decision. So we'll see where that goes.
Week 7.
Yeah.
Sunday Night Football. Indy against San Francisco. North Dakota State Bowl.
That
Trey
would be
amazing. Lance against Carson Wentz. Are we going to see it, or is it still going to be Jimmy G?
To me, it's going to be on Jimmy G and how he plays. This to me is less about, like, Shanahan's going to get Trey Lance ready to go. And if he's got to play him, he'll find ways to make it good for him and make it work. I don't doubt Shanahan. See, that's where it's different with Fields and Nagy a little bit. I don't have the confidence quite in Nagy, and I don't know what that offense will look like. And, of course, I don't believe in his creativity the way I do with Shanahan. But to me, unlike Trey Lance, I know he's smart, he works hard. Shanahan will have a package of things for him to perfect and do things like that. But I think it's more on Jimmy G with this one. Like,
I get that.
If he's faltering and not playing up to par, I think that's when all the things you talked about start to come into play. Because now the fan base is like, wait, he's not playing great. Okay, yeah, we're 3-2, or you know, we're 4-3 instead of 5-2 or 6-1 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's just not up to par. And now you have all that chatter like you talked about. We gave Aaron three first-round picks and all these type of things. That, I think, can expedite that if it gets to that point.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think if it's 5-2, I have a hard time thinking he can do that. I really do.
Do you think style points will matter at all? I'm thinking back to that playoff game a couple of years ago when they won pretty handily, but they got nothing out of the passing game.
Oh, nothing. I mean, both
of them. It was all defense and running
game. The Vikings game and the Packers game.
Both of them. You're right.
Both of them. He threw two early interceptions in the Vikings game.
What if it looks that way?
Let's
say they're 5-2, but it's defense and running game.
He might be out. He might be out. Because then Shanahan's going to look at it and go, like, well, I'm not maximizing the greatness of my team here. My offense is like, I got first.
They have some pass catchers.
I got some pass catchers and a tight end. And you know, now this guy, even though he might not be able to be as pure as a consistent of a thrower, but his running might open up some big-time playmaking passes to go along with it. I mean, again, Shanahan's a genius in the run scheme. And now you make defensive coordinators think about another aspect of the quarterback running with the extra blocker in front of him. And now he's going to put people in a bind that way and go, oh, they're in this. And now, Trey, I'm going to package that run play where you run. But if they play this defense right here, check to this play because they're going to check to this coverage and we're going to fuck them with this pass pattern down the field. And it'll be really easy.
Yeah.
You know, but that's what the running quarterback does, and Shanahan's brilliance and all that. So I'm rambling here. I don't know where this goes.
It's a podcast.
I know. I don't know where it goes.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated.
This one brings up more fun talking points. Like I could have filled up 6 pages on to bring up.
It's endless. How they want to play it with Jimmy G. I mean, it really is. You could do a million things. Oh, Trey Lance is kicking ass all training camp, preseason. He looks like a star. Somebody gets hurt as a starting quarterback on another team. Hey, we got Jimmy G. You want to trade him? We'll take him. We'll give him to you. I mean, there's that aspect. There's the aspect you brought up of him starting, being benched in the year. There's the aspect of Jimmy G playing the whole year and them doing well. And then what the hell do you do after the year? You know, there's so many different angles and approaches the 49ers can do. That's where, I am fascinated by that. I'm excited to see Trey Lance and what he can do in the NFL when he does get in.
I think you have a couple of images.
Yeah, we got to look at Lance and some of his issues throwing the ball, too. Let's do that because, you know, again, it's a little different way. He doesn't throw through the elbow like Justin Fields, like we talked
about
that way.
Doesn't swing it up high.
Doesn't swing the elbow up high. But still, the motion can get very long and independent from the body at times. And this is from last year. It's going to be a fumble here. And go ahead, go to this. So right now he's in great position, right? So let's go to the next frame after this. Still in pretty good position. Got no problem with that. Good pace. Two hands on the ball again. Great looking body. I don't like that. I don't like that. And this was a fumble. You know, these are the other reasons like people don't talk about. Like, yes, it's going to lead to inconsistent throws. It's going to lead to strip sack fumbles when you hang the ball out there like that. That's all these guys do and train for this in the NFL. That's all they talk about. Individual period. We're going to come around the edge, swat the ball. We're going to do this and swat the ball. I mean, that's what they do. So that is scary from the aspect of playing in the pocket quarterback, let alone, again, it's some of those same things we talked about with Justin Fields. That back leg not being totally under him. It's like kind of crumbling inside, right? And now the arm is the arm angle has broken a little bit in the elbow and is way behind him. Mm-hmm. And again, that's baseball. Like, again, you would never see Brady or Rodgers get to this. That's how he is right here. He's like this.
Or Mahomes or Wilson.
Yes, they would never. They might drop the ball or do something like this, but see how this arm angle, it never breaks or anything like that. Rodgers, Mahomes, it's all going to stay in here. They're never going to let it get to that point like that. it goes back to your moving parts thing. There's just too many things there.
Yeah.
So there's that. That ends up in a strip sack fumble, right? Let's go to some of the other pictures here. Here we go. On the run. Trey Lance, he can have some throws where you go, that's amazing on the run. That's great. And then you have other games where you go, I don't know how you miss it. And miss it this bad. And miss it this many times. Now, this is his one game from the 2020 season. He misses a legit 10 slam dunk, should be freshman football completions. I'm not trying to be a jerk or snarky or an asshole there, but that's just the aspect of it. And here we go. So here's a little bootleg, which, of course, is going to be a big part of Shanahan's offense. Mm-hmm. And he's got a guy in the flat that's wide open. But it goes back again to nobody, right? So I don't even like this position here if you're watching. Shoulders already swung open. Didn't keep it in there to kind of, you know, keep the, like, you would want to be on the run like this. And as you're getting ready to throw and do that, you want to be the opposite of what he is. You want to be like this almost. So now you can rotate through it and throw it and use your body. Instead, he's like this. He's open and just going to do it with his arm and just going to go like that.
Yeah.
That's what he's about to do here. So he throws this ball and it ends up being incomplete. They don't show the final result there. So, but anyways, here we got another one where he runs to the left. He's throwing on the run. And again, there's throws where he runs to the left where you go, that's awesome. That's textbook. I love it. But then there's throws like this where it's a manipulated over-the-top motion. Again, he's running to his left, which would be my right. You would want to see like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
The opposites. Let me get that shoulder turned to my target a little bit so now I can rotate out of it and throw it. Here's one where he's going to his opposite side and his chest is at the target. He's wide open. The arm's just going to go around in a circular motion like a Ferris wheel, and he's going to throw the ball. It lends it to being the ball being 12 feet high. Guy goes up and makes a, I think he caught that. I can't remember. He did. He dropped it on the out of bounds there. So, you know, again, some of those concerns. I got to see those get fixed and things like that. Plus, he hasn't played a lot. He's coming from 1AA football. All those things are why I got him at 38. I hope he proves me wrong and is at 18 halfway through the year. Again, I'm not rooting against these guys.
Right.
Here's a deep ball shot, too. This is something that's not a positive in his game. You know, you see here, not bad positioning. Okay, let's go to the next shot. Here we go. But, you know, no load up again. You see the chest is totally to the target, and it leads to, you know, the inability sometimes for him to throw different type of go balls or balls down the field. He kind of has to throw every ball the same way because he flips out of there and it becomes all arm. Every ball is kind of driven, even deep balls. He doesn't throw it high and let it fall like we see the great deep ball throwers do, right?
That'll get you in trouble.
Right, because, again, even like in this picture, I mean, I'd want him to be like, and again, don't pay attention to my lower body. I'm trying to fit in the screen here. But you want him to be like this, loading up to throw these balls. Not like this, and then that's what he did right there. He kind of just was here, and he went boom, if that makes sense. You know, you want to be here, and like now I'm going to and go up with the ball.
Right.
So those are some of the things he's got to work on. You see he overthrows it there, and, you know, there's a lot of that on his film.
Is there somebody in San Francisco to help him with that?
Shanahan's
got a
clue.
It's a great scheme.
Shanahan's got a clue. Yeah. He's listened to the Sims family a lot and throwing and stuff like that.
Yep.
So he definitely has a clue. And that's where, you know, do I have a little more confidence in them fixing a Trey Lance and some of his issues as compared to Nagy and Fields? Yes, I do. Because I do think there's a few more people in that building that at least I know a little bit.
Right. Okay. So 40 was Case Keenum. 39, Justin Fields, rookie to the Bears. 38, Trey Lance, rookie to the Niners. And getting us to number 37.
Rookie run here. But, I mean, everybody should know who's coming. It's Kellen Mond. Yeah, I mean, and of course I got Kellen Mond in front of those two guys. He was in front of them for all my, you know, draft rankings.
This is your, from Fields to Lance to Mond, your sixth, fifth, and fourth best.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Sixth, fifth, and fourth best quarterbacks. You've heard anybody that's been listening to me with my quarterback breakdowns in the draft. I mean, what have I been saying about Kellen Mond? He's one of the most NFL-ready guys. He plays in the pocket. The things that, again, I go back to with Kellen Mond, he was, in a lot of ways, him and Mac Jones might have been the most NFL-ready pocket-passing quarterbacks. Hmm. Not the best, not saying anything, but just purely I had to play the game in the pocket, go through reads, make high-level, you know, tight window completions, those type of things. Kellen Mond thrived that way. And you get to see a lot of it. So that's why I had Kellen Mond fourth in my quarterback rankings. And that was the big reason is that I felt like, ooh, he's been playing NFL football. It's not going to be adjustment. He's got no mechanical issues. I think you heard me throughout the process. I was going, the only thing that's wrong with this guy is I just wish he would scramble a little more.
Yeah.
And maybe be a little more loose with the ball and not be so tight with it and all that. But those are easy fixes. He's in the perfect spot in Minnesota, an offense that really fits him. Everything like that. But yes, being under Jimbo Fisher, playing on one of a not the most dominant team in the SEC, I think Kellen Mond, if called upon, which I don't expect this year, mm-hmm. but if so, I don't think Minnesota will have to change anything. Mm. I don't think they don't run a complicated offense. They're going to go, wait, you've done this stuff in college. You've been watching Kirk. Oh, in fact, hey, wait, your arm's really explosive. We might be able to call a few other plays off these play-action passes that we couldn't call with Kirk.
Right.
Because you can just launch it. So that's where, you know, I'm a believer in Kellen Mond that way. I think it's a great fit. And, yeah, I like Kellen Mond's game a lot.
Of all the rookies we've talked about so far, Fields and Lance and now Mond, he might be in the best, you said perfect, most perfect spot just because of where he was selected early third round. So they like him, but there's not huge pressure on him.
I know.
And say what you want about Kirk Cousins. He's at the very least a quality NFL quarterback,
definitely.
If not a really good one.
Right.
He can truly go in and watch and learn.
Exactly right. Watch, learn. Cousins is a robot, a machine, as far as studying how to handle yourself, not listening to outside noise. I mean, Cousins is great at that. I mean, come on. The guy obviously is good at it. I mean, everybody in the country's been shitting on him for 5 years. He keeps throwing for 35 touchdowns and 12 interceptions, and
right.
Nobody even pays attention. They're just like, they should replace him. And mm-hmm. you're like, what? No, that's crazy. So, but yes, it is a perfect spot for him to be behind that guy. And where it's great, too, is really he's more physically gifted than the guy in front of him.
Right.
To where it could, you know, set up to that point where – you know, Cousins got a year or two left on his contract. It could be one of those things where they see this guy for a year and they just, whoa, he's good. He's smart. He understands it. Man, it's throwing. And you hear these foaming in the mouth type stories about watch out for this guy when he gets in there.
Right.
Listen, I'm a believer in Kellen Mond. You know that. I think I said it, you know, towards the end of the draft process. He's going to be the Dak Prescott of this draft. That's what I really think. Everybody, ooh, we kind of liked him, but we nitpicked him to death, and he fell to the third round. Oh, well, we always thought he had starting capability. Oh, yeah, you did? That's why you picked him in the third round, huh? That's why you let him go? I mean, so, yeah, we'll see where Kellen Mond goes or how this plays out for him. He's certainly going to be the backup, but I do like his game. It's just too pure of a thrower.
Right.
Too pure of a thrower, knows how to play the position. And I'll tell you one thing. I was really into some of the games where I go, this game could have been a disaster. He could have lost this game for them.
At A&M.
And he really played the position the right way to go, okay, it's not going to be pretty. My stats aren't going to be pretty. Mm-hmm. But we're not going to lose the game for me. I'm not going to lose my patience or have my ego go off because I want to show everybody I could throw a 50-yard laser. I don't mm-hmm. care. It's triple coverage. I got to show it. Hmm. You know, he never fell into those traps. He's very mature the way he played the position. Yeah, I like Kellen Mond a lot.
Let's attach what you said about him being the most NFL-ready in this class, but besides Mac Jones, to maybe a real-life situation in October. Let's say, for whatever reason, whether it's how the starter's playing in front of them or injuries, let's say Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Kellen Mond are all starting mid-October.
Yeah.
You have the most confidence that Mond's going to play better than those two?
I do definitely in the passing aspect of the game. I will say that. Like, Trey Lance with Shanahan and that running team and all that, like, that scares me, like, as far as that conversation, because they could have some highlight runs, and we're going, well, Trey Lance has run for 100 yards the last four games in a row and hit it. But, yes, ultimately, I do. I have the most confidence in him and being able to take over an offense and the offense not having to change at all either. Mm. Just being like, oh, no, this is our offense we run. Our backup fits within our offense, and we're good there.
You can picture that.
And I think really, yes, within the drop back passing, the play action passing, anything throwing the football, I give Kellen Mond the advantage over those guys for sure. But like I said, especially within the pocket. That's where I found him to be really damn special with that quick release, strong arm. And unlike Lance and Fields, where we showed long front steps and long motions, this guy can play in a phone booth and still throw 40-yard lasers. And that's what I really like about him.
I thought about this real-life situation. Some version of it probably happened inside the Buccaneers drafting room there. So last pick of the second round.
Yeah.
Okay, Kyle Trask is there. Kellen Mond is there. Whether they did it on draft night or 2 months before, 2 days before, they had to think, okay, if we're going to go quarterback and these two guys are there, we like Trask more than Mond because of this. Put yourself in that spot.
Yeah.
Like, where do you – like, what kind of descriptions or evaluations are you picturing?
My dad said this a little last week, and I think when he said it to me, it's like bright light went on my brain. I was like – you're right, and I wish I would have thought of that before the draft.
Yeah.
Bruce Arians only likes big quarterbacks. He never has. I mean, it's always Big Ben, Carson Palmer, Jameis, Tom, hang in there. You're going to get fucking killed in my offense. Yeah. I need you to be big. That's what he believes in. He compared Trask to Brad Johnson, who I played with in Tampa. Yeah. He goes, this guy reminds me of Brad Johnson. We called Brad the Bull. Mm-hmm. Bull was a big fucker.
Yeah.
I mean, he was 6'5", had to, like, watch what he ate all year round to be 242, 245, right?
Yeah.
So, you know this. Some coaches have their mold of what they like at certain positions, and they have their beliefs and how they've constructed their offense and how it fits that position and what I like. To me, that's what it came down to. He wants a big sucker that's going to stand in there and – oh, you got concussed? So what? You threw a 50-yard post. Great throw. Way to go. Go out there and get concussed the next series again, okay? I mean, that's just what he believes in.
Yeah, he saw something he recognized.
I think so. I think. You know,
it was only two picks later that Mond went.
I know. I mean, you know, obviously, yes, I didn't like Trask as much as Mond, but, again, I don't hate on any of these guys. I'm rooting for Kyle Trask as well.
So Kellen Mond, 37. By the way, same spot you had Justin Herbert last year. And that worked out pretty well for him. So
the magic spot.
Maybe we'll see if 37.
See, I was wrong last year.
Maybe a song for 37.
I should have had him higher than 37.
I know.
And I believe that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know why I didn't do it.
It was too many of the questions. How can you have him rated and he hasn't played it down?
I think I got a little scared, too. I will say, I think the Oregon offense and some of that aspect scared me with Herbert, too, to where I let that play into it. So, it's always good. I'm going to be wrong, of course, on some of these, just a few.
We're going to go four rookies in a row here? Up to number 36.
Take
a break.
We're done with Rookieville for a little bit.
All right.
Had enough of these young rookie punks.
They'll be showing up later.
Yeah, we got some more runs of them.
Probably above 20.
Got some coming.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
All right, 36. Who are we seeing?
36, a guy who was not on the list last year.
Mm-hmm.
But he has re-entered, and I'm not saying I was right to not have him on the list last year. But I had my questions. He made me feel a little bit better about him this year. Marcus Mariota, Las Vegas Raiders. Yeah. No, I didn't know what to expect from Marcus Mariota. You know, got benched in Tennessee. He is not the most pure passer throwing the football all the time. But, you know, again, what I'll say about Marcus Mariota that really jumped out to me in the game he got to play this year too and everything like that. First off, I did think he threw the ball better. There's no doubt. Was it perfect? No. I mean, he throws an errant interception at the end of the game where you go, wait, you're too good to miss that throw. You can't do that. But there's still a presence on the field. That's the thing I'll say. I gave Marcus Mariota a little like for that. Mm-hmm. He has a presence about him. You know, he's a man in the pocket. You know, he has been to the playoffs. He can lead people that way. And his skill set is still pretty special, too. And we saw that in the one game. He had to come in relief for Derek Carr and everything like that. Hey, they ran the ball well. In a tough situation, he ran the ball well.
Yeah.
And he made some big-time passes. In a game where it was a good defense and they were down and he drove them down to tie the game late in the fourth quarter, you know, went into overtime, all of those type of things. But, you know, under Gruden, do I feel like he had some growth in the pass game? Yeah, of course I do. I think he was probably taught things there. The way he looked as far in that one game, the things I know from out there in Las Vegas, and I think I probably underrated him a little last year in the top 40 quarterback countdown anyways. So that's why Marcus Mariota's there. A guy that I still think, if gets his opportunity, can be a starter in the NFL. I do.
Right.
You know, and I know it's only one game, but sometimes it's all we got to go off of.
His numbers, one game last year, 17 out of 28, 226, touchdown to pick. Those were his season numbers.
Right.
First time in 6 years he didn't start a single game.
Had about 90 or 88 yards rushing in the game, too.
Well.
See, that's the other thing, too, I don't like about what I see with quarterbacks and stats sometimes here, too. We like to pick our stats with some of these running quarterbacks. If it's a good running quarterback and everybody's behind him, they add the touchdowns rushing and the rushing yards.
Yeah.
If it's a quarterback like, let's just say, Cam Newton, nobody talks about, oh, yeah, he had 12 rushing touchdowns and led the team in that department. That doesn't get talked about and what he did for the team and things like that. That's a real aspect. It's 2021, dual threat quarterbacks. It's a real fucking thing. So his running's a real thing. There's no doubt. We got to stop, like, brushing it over to a degree there in that facet. But, yeah, that one game, learning from Gruden and things like that, I mean, I would think that was enough, too, to why you heard the New England Patriots rumors early in the offseason.
Yeah. First of all, they were super excited about him, not just as a backup, as potential to beat out Derek Carr.
So right.
They think a lot of him there.
Yep.
There was a point there this spring where he restructured his deal.
Yeah.
Made it more cap friendly. Uh-huh. I thought they were getting ready to deal him to a team.
Yes.
That would give him that chance to be a starter again. I'm a little surprised
I know.
That didn't happen.
I think, you know, they're paying a lot of money for a back. Their team, I think, their salary cap issues. That's one of the reasons, you know, they restructured this offensive line and did all those type of things. I do think there was a little bit of a trade conversation there for a while. But I think they're in a bind a little bit that way. So that's why they probably asked them to make that pay cut. You know, I think ultimately there's not – I mean, the reason he's 36 or was just out of my top 40 last year is the same thing anybody's heard me talk about Marcus Mariota. You like the passing to be a little bit better and more consistent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, that game was really good, but had an interception on a little spot route to his right side where that's kind of been the MO of his whole career, where you just go, oh, he's played good, and, man, you missed that? Like, Or – you know, you missed that throw four times in our last four throws, three of them were open, and he kind of missed them. Damn, how does that happen?
Right.
I think that's where he's going to have to prove he's gotten better in those areas if he wants to have somebody sign him as a starter again or do those type of things, at least in my opinion.
You know who he has a really similar background to in terms of where he was drafted, how he played, how he produced? His reputation is different, but Trubisky – it's very similar. Your first-round pick, I went back and looked at their numbers, low 60%, more touchdowns than interceptions, but not like it's 2-1.
I know.
Won a lot of games.
Right.
But yet it didn't work out where they got drafted. And, like, again, you don't think of them in the same sentence. Very similar
Very
careers.
Similar. You're right. Yeah. It is.
And now Trubisky's in Buffalo.
And it's another, I think, thing forgotten about. Like, you talked about, like, the touchdown, like, turnovers, we talk about Jameis Winston as being the turnover king of that draft.
Yeah.
Marcus Mariota has a turnover issue too.
Yeah.
You know, but it was that one game last year, but even, you know, that's part of the reason he was benched in Tennessee, was missed throws.
After his second year interceptions, in Tennessee, he started turning it over.
Fumbles became a real thing with him carrying the football and fumbling.
Yep.
So I think that's why he's fallen out of the starting role. But I do think he's a man. He's got some great physical attributes. He does have a presence on the football field with the way he stands in the pocket. And, of course, when he takes off and runs, you know, he's a guy you notice. He pops out, and a defense has got to take him into account. But it is, I think, that polish of passing, like kind of like we've talked about with every guy here.
Right.
You know, I feel like as far as needing a little polish. But, yeah, like Mariota, we'll see if he gets a chance to play. I was hoping to see him play.
Yeah.
You know, Carr got hurt his back, remember, in that Thursday night game.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, like, oh, man, Carr's going to be out for a few weeks. We're going to get to see Marcus Mariota when he's got all about here.
Yeah.
Carr tough as hell, and he played the next week. And
He
was playing really well all year long.
You mentioned Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
And Marcus is always going to be grouped with him. They came in 1-2 back in 2015. Moving forward, if you had to have one of those guys kind of starting for a whole season, which one?
Jameis has a higher ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
He definitely does. Like, Jameis has the ability to be a legit top 10, top 5-ish type quarterback, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I'd rather have Jameis.
Yeah.
I would. I have, you know, of course, like all these idiot coaches, I got confidence in my coaching ability to fix them up.
You can limit the turnovers. Right.
That's the way I feel. Yeah. That's the way I feel, yes. Of course, I mean, that's the way everybody feels.
Yeah,
yeah, but I do. I like Jameis. His passing can be special that way. And Mariota, that's the thing that's held him back to a degree.
Isn't it interesting how quickly things change? I mean, it was just 2015, and now these two guys, top two picks, are elsewhere. Goff and Wentz are elsewhere. Trubisky.
That's why it's the what are you doing right now list.
Yeah.
Because the league can change in a hurry. And, you know, how you play, you could be the seventh best quarterback in football the next year, come back, have a bad year, you know, didn't play your best, made some stupid decisions, threw some bad interceptions and some big moments, and five or six guys had career amazing years. And you could end up being the 12th, 13th best quarterback in football the next year rankings come down.
Yeah.
I mean, again, it's the NFL. These things are so close. And so many different things, of course, dictate your success and those type of things. And guys have up and down years. That's part of the sport. That's the way it goes. So hope that was a good first five. You know, some rookies there. It's hard to break them down as much as some of these guys that have been in the league. But tomorrow or Wednesday's pod, we're going to have some guys who've certainly played, and we'll be able to get into a little more of the nitty-gritty with them.
Yeah. It's nice to be doing this in the same place. Remember last year I was in my basement. You were somewhere in your house.
Thank God.
And I was thinking about that as we're talking about one of these guys. I'm like, well, a year ago.
I know.
We were in a much different
place. We're literally heading in the right direction.
Yeah, it's nice
we're
to be doing
there.
This right
I know.
Here.
I know. It is. It really is good. And, I mean, I'm happy with the list. I really am. Mariota was a tough one there. You know, there's a group of guys coming up to where, you know, he's in their class of guys. But I think ultimately why Mariota is 36 or in that range there is like I talked about. There's some things I really like, but I don't have the total 100% confidence that he can dice you up in the pass game and do those type of things if need be.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's that image, too, that those first couple of years where they were winning, his numbers were really good, that he was on a decline.
Yes.
And that there was some buzz and excitement about him going to the Raiders.
Right.
But the last 3 years in Tennessee, it was just not.
It regressed. It was a little bit of, you know, it's why I'm those young quarterbacks, you all, especially the running ones.
Yeah.
I want to see. I'm not going to get fascinated with like, oh, whoa, it's four awesome games in a row. You know, like even with Jalen Hurts, you know, like, listen, it could get better. It definitely could. But it could also get worse where teams go, wait, this is what they're doing with him. Or now we know to stop the quarterback runs and those type of things. Oh, they like to throw this little pass when they don't have the run they like. And then it becomes, oh, shit, I still have to play in the pocket and dice people up. And to me, that's what happened with Marcus Mariota a little bit. Yeah, his running, they were a pretty good team. caught some teams by surprise, got them going and all that. But then once teams got used to how they played and all those type of things, oh, shit, those tricks aren't there. And now I got to be able to beat you with my consistency and picking you apart and doing those type of things. And to me, that's where it regressed a little bit and why Ryan Tannehill took over.
Three more rookies left to go.
Three more rookies
no
left to go.
No matter where they show up.
Yeah.
Going to give us a hint for 35 through 31.
Let's see. 35 through 31. We got a few young guys in there.
Okay.
All right.
Yep.
Not necessarily rookies, but younger guys.
Younger means like first 3 years?
Yeah, first three. Okay. First three, 4 years there. And then two guys from the same team coming up, too.
Two guys in the same team.
Oh,
are we
baby.
Going reverse quarterback Jeopardy here? You're asking me who it might be?
I'm asking you.
Yep. Two guys?
No, don't answer. You're not supposed to answer these and give them up yet. All right? All right, please. I'm sure people will be able to figure it out. But there we go. 40 through 36.
Yep.
I think we'll do, what did we, I can't even remember. We got it staggered between pod, few on PFT.
Oh, you're
back
going some
the
on PFT. Okay.
Yep, I released on PFT today, Trey Lance, Fields, and Case Keenum. So now we've added two more.
Should have had it on in the house.
So tomorrow we'll do those two, the two we didn't do on the show, and then I think add a few more to it, and that's how
so
we're doing
no
this.
Matter what you do with Mike on PFT, like
we're always going to add a few more.
We're always going to go five.
Yes.
Here. Okay.
Yeah, we'll do everything on the pod. Anything we did on PFT, we'll break down, and then we're going to have a few extra guys we break down on the pod, too.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't give Mike all the good stuff. I mean,
you give me something to listen to on the flight back on Wednesday night. Good. On the West Coast.
All right.
35 through 31.
All right. 35 through 31. Where are you? What are you doing out there on the West Coast?
Going to L.A., spending time with the U.S. water polo team.
Wow, okay.
My Olympic sport. So.
You gonna get in the pool at all?
You know what? I've thought about it. I don't think they've thought about it.
Oh, I want to see you in the pool with a weenie bikini on and a shower cap. Like, can we get that for the show, please? In fact, NBC, let's not even let this guy go there unless he takes a picture like that. I want you in the weenie bikini with the shower cap.
Where did the shower cap come in?
Don't they wear shower caps in water polo?
I don't think they call it a shower
cap.
Oh,
no, they don't.
Cap.
Yeah, cap. Okay.
Cap with a number on it.
Small cap.
A small cap with a small number for the play-by-play guy to see there.
Oh, yeah, good luck with that. Seriously. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I could sell that, the weenie bikini, Speedo cap.
We could sell it for you. Don't you worry.
All right. We'll Pete seems fired up to make this happen.
Oh, that would be amazing. You talk about clickbait. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Yes, I actually really
amazingly
do like that
poor.
Idea.
Nah, that's what that would be.
I think it could be really good.
So I'll be flying back fully clothed Wednesday night.
Okay.
I'll take a listen.
Have you ever played water polo?
No, it's a nasty, tough sport.
I can't even imagine treading water and doing that for that long.
First of all, just picture like swimming and treading water for an hour.
Ooh.
Okay, I mean just like without somebody defending you. Okay, then you have someone trying to drag you down.
Yes.
And watch during the Olympics. We have a camera underwater. The type of shit that goes down under the water in water polo, men and women, is insane.
I bet.
Yeah.
They have penalties in water polo?
They do.
They're like illegal drowning.
But
number 12.
There's nothing for what's going on underneath.
Okay.
You can imagine because like the referees aren't watching the monitor. And
so they
got to
be careful maybe what they show underwater at times.
Yes, they yes.
Because you
yes,
can see some bodily parts pop out of those weenie bikinis.
In real many times.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. I'll be tuned in especially close now, from now on, with water polo.
It's an interesting,
I am a pervert.
Very, very difficult, nasty sport.
All right.
Yeah,
no, I know it's nasty. I always have respect for those swim athletes.
Yeah.
Because I went to school at Texas. We had a great swim program. And the workouts they used to go through, I'd be like, what?
Crazy,
Are
right?
Are you kidding? And you're going back later?
One of my favorite images in Rio.
Right.
So, like, in Serbia and Hungary, like, that part of Europe, they're really, really good at water polo.
Yeah.
And they have, like, grown men playing. Like, we have kids just out of UCLA or Stanford or Cal. 38-year-olds, okay, in the Speedo, hair everywhere. This guy in between matches was sitting, smoking a cigarette.
Love it.
Sitting on the side of the pool.
I love it.
This is water polo. Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I'll try and get a shot.
All right.
Something like that. Bring back to the pod.
You mean with you in the weenie bikini smoking a cigarette.
Okay. Just talking about
that's what we want. Paulie is not allowed back to host this show unless we get that picture. Okay, well, he might like that. He might be like, fine, okay.
Finally, somebody asked me to do it.
Yeah. Well, let's do it. I don't have to be with Sims anymore? Sure, I'll take the picture.
If I actually get that done and excited to come back, like I don't know. I mean,
if you get that done,
yeah,
it will be the screenshot for this podcast will be you. It would be Chris Sims unbuttoned and you
naked.
Is
that really what you want?
I do.
Or what
I want,
or what Pete wants,
I
most
do.
Importantly.
I am saying I do. Yeah. And we will open up PFT in the morning for sure. Maybe multiple mornings if you take that kind of picture for
us.
There's no doubt.
Yeah.
So all right. You make the choice. Do you want to be big time or not? You want to be famous or not? Hurry up. Figure it out, okay?
All right. I didn't know that was my path, but yeah. Yeah.
All right, that's it.
Those images. All right.
There we go. 40 through 36. We'll be back on Wednesday for a whole bunch of others. Pay attention to me on Pro Football Talk with Florio. We break them down there. Paulie, thanks for
good
today.
To see you.
You the man.
See you
good
soon.
Questions, good conversation. And you know where to find us. I will have 100% Big Phil on the Wednesday podcast. No skin doctors, no taking over from my brother. He's going to be here. I gave him the time this weekend. He's ready to go. So peace out, everybody. Safe travels to you.
All right.
Be good. Check you out. See ya.
See ya.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.